Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Well, today is day one of 21 days of prayer and fasting. How are we feeling about that? Come on, let's get excited. We call these 21 days consecration, and this is an annual rhythm in the life of our church where we set aside a season to consecrate ourselves. It's not a particularly comfortable season, but there is no better way to start the year than with a season like this, setting ourselves apart. I want to read from two passages of Scripture today, one very short in the Old Testament and another in the New Testament. We'll put them on the screen for you. Feel free to follow along there. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And then we have a very similar passage of Scripture. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, who was a leader in Ephesus, spiritual son of Paul. "Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." We call this message today simply, "Set apart." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the power of your word. It is living and active. And God, I'm asking that as we talk through these passages and these next 21 days of consecration, would you open our eyes? Would you help us to see what you mean by consecration and what it means for us specifically, what you're asking of us, what you're requiring of us? Father, we do long for you to do wonders amongst us. Father, would you help us to position ourselves? Lord, we're hungry, we're desperate for you. Reveal yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in these two passages that we just read, we see this pattern in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God shows up very powerfully on the other side of the consecration of his people. Joshua tells the nation of Israel to consecrate themselves, and then he tells them why. He says, because the Lord is about to do wonders. There was something in the heart of God to do for the people of Israel. There was a miracle God was going to work in bringing them into their promise, but it required them to properly position themselves in light of what was about to happen. It's our consecration that invites God to do wonders in our lives. Where there is a lack of the goodness or what seems to be the good gifts of God in our lives, where there is a lack of breakthrough or miraculous power, it may very well be that there is a corresponding lack of consecration. When I look back over my life, I can see seasons of consecration that God took me through. Times of preparation that were necessary before God could do in me and through me what he wanted to do. God took me through a very long season of consecration from the time I was born again, in preparing me to be qualified to receive the good gift that he wanted to give me in my wife. there was some work that God had to do in my life. There were some things that I needed to be set free from because God was not going to entrust someone as beautiful and as godly as her to someone who was as broken and full of lust and full of all kinds of other things as I was at that time. So he had to bring me through a season of consecration, a time of being set apart, working a deeper purity in my life. I love this phrase from Andy Stanley. You need to become the person that the person you're looking for is looking for. That's what God did in me in a season of consecration. The good that God wants to do in us and in our lives comes on the other side of our consecration. The power that God wants to flow through us comes through our consecration. I can't help but look out at all the crazy things happening in the world right now and wonder if there's a connection between that and a lack of consecration from the people of God. In late 2019, God very clearly spoke to me about planting Pneuma Perth, probably the most clear word from God I've ever had. I want you to, in saying, I want you to move your family from Melbourne to Perth to plant a church. And interestingly, about a month later, on the morning of the 1st of January 2020, I opened my eyes. We were at some friend's house in Aubrey Wodonga, where we used to live, had a little, come on, Aubrey Wodonga. You don't hear that very often from the crowd. Come on. We'll have to talk. Hanging out at a friend's house, had this New Year's Eve party. I got up I opened my eyes, and as clearly as God spoke to me about coming to Perth, he spoke to me that morning. He said, I want you to consecrate yourself to me by drinking no alcohol for the next 12 months. I don't believe that there's anything inherently evil about having a glass of wine. You might come over to my house. You might see a few beers in the fridge. But in 2020, God said, I want you to consecrate yourself to me by drinking no alcohol. Sometimes consecration for us is not necessarily about removing something sinful from our lives. Sometimes it's about maybe even a test of our hearts from the Lord. Will you obey me in this little thing? Will you set aside something that you enjoy, a good gift from me? Will you set this aside for a season so that I can prepare you through this humbling I want to do in your heart? Will you obey me just because I'm saying to obey me? There was something that God did in my heart in 2020 in preparing me to plant this church with all of you, of course. God will take us through seasons of consecration to prepare us for the good that he wants to bring in our lives and through our lives. We want God to do some great things in us in 2022, do we not? We got a world that's hurting and broken around us that needs a new level of power flowing through the people of God. And so we want to begin our year with a season of consecration, that we can be as prepared as we possibly can be so that we can position ourselves to receive something from him. So what is consecration? When Joshua told the people of Israel to consecrate yourselves, what did he mean by that? Consecration, in biblical terms, really involves two key things. First, there is a cleansing from sin and impurity and from anything that competes with our hearts, the affection of our hearts towards God. Anything that competes with God for the affection of our hearts. So there's a cleansing, there's a removing, there's a letting go of something. And then there is a dedication to a specific purpose. So a cleansing, a letting go, and then a dedication, a commitment to a purpose. And so whenever we see consecration in the Bible, we can see these two things. We see it in Isaiah, the prophet, when he has this epiphany, this encounter with God. And you know, he sees the seraphim, the angels, and there's this moment of consecration where he sees himself in comparison to the holiness of God, and he says, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips." And this angel comes and takes coal from the altar, touches his lips, brings about a cleansing. And then what does God do? He says, he begins to speak of this, of needing to send someone to go and proclaim his word. And what does Isaiah do? "Here I am, Lord, send me." The cleansing came before the dedication to the purpose. We see it in Peter. I could give you example and example after example in Scripture. But consecration is all about preparation. It precedes something great that God wants to do. And so there must be a letting go of something that's holding us back so that we can give ourselves more fully to something that's more valuable. Paul picks up on this theme of consecration in this New Testament passage that I read. What does he say? He says, "Cleanse yourself of what is dishonorable." Cleanse yourself. There's dishonorable things. Now, he uses this illustration. There's some things in a home that are you've got like the good everyday, the china you use every day. Then you've got the stuff you bring out when the guests come over. Some for dishonorable use, some for honorable use. Cleanse yourself of what is dishonorable so that you will be set apart, so that you will be useful, so that you will be ready. The inference is if you do not cleanse yourself from what's dishonorable, if there's apathy, if there's complacency in your life, if there's distraction, if your attention is all over the place, then you will not be set apart, you will not be useful, you will not be ready. And so if we do not have regular seasons of consecration in our lives, then we end up at the end of our lives looking back with all kinds of regret. And even worse, we stand before God and we give an account for our life and we look back on a life that was lived unuseful to God, never ready for God, not set apart. And so we desperately need these seasons of consecration. We desperately need these moments where we come back to and set ourselves apart. There's one major difference between Joshua's version of consecration and Paul's version of consecration. And Jane, in her masterful communion message today, shed some light on that and gave us a little something to do throughout this season of consecration. See, for Joshua, there was these outward rituals. There was Mosaic law that had to be adhered to. There was these outward representations of something that was going to happen in the future. But from Paul's perspective and Paul's version of consecration was looking back on the finished work of Christ and what has the consecration that has already happened, the cleansing that has already happened. And so when we come to this season of consecration, we're not coming to try to fix ourselves and try to work ourselves out. We're simply coming in this season to reposition ourselves at the feet of Jesus and to realign ourselves with the cleansing that has already happened, to realign ourselves with the new identity that we have in Christ. And out of that comes all kinds of victory and all kinds of freedom from sin and all kinds of revelation of how dumb it is to give ourselves to the things that have been distracting us. What does it practically look like to do that over these next 21 days? How do we align ourselves with this new identity in Christ? How do we consecrate ourselves? How do we do, as Paul says, to cleanse ourselves, making ourselves ready and useful? Over the next 21 days of prayer and fasting, I believe we need to set ourselves apart in three very practical ways. I'm going to give them to you. I think they're already up here on the screen, in fact. We are going to refocus our attention. We are going to reprioritize our time. And we are going to renew our desires. We need to consecrate ourselves in these three key areas: our attention, our time, and our desires. Let's break each one of those down. In a season of consecration, we refocus our attention. There's this great passage here in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul says, "I am afraid that as this serpent deceived Eve, so your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." The enemy's number one tactic in our lives is to distract us from intimate relationship with Jesus. He wants to lead our thoughts astray. He wants to captivate our attention. Do you know that human attention has become a multi-billion-dollar industry? In fact, social media companies, their primary goal is what? It is your attention. Your attention is the product. Your attention is what they are selling to marketers. We just moved house, as I said, and when you move house, sometimes you got some stuff to get rid of. Sometimes you got some new stuff to get. So we were all over Facebook Marketplace, and man, I would think, okay, I need to list this for sale, and I would take a photo. I'd open up Facebook, and next thing I know, I'm watching some guy rescue his dog from a frozen pond, and I'm watching somebody rescue a sloth from the middle of the road, and I'm watching this guy rip an alligator off of his dog. I mean, how is it? They have mastered the art of robbing my attention, and I'm like, what am I doing here? Oh, yeah. I'm here to post something. You're laughing because you've all been there. You go there for something purposeful, and next thing you know, 30 minutes are lost. But this is how valuable our attention is. There are algorithms created to rob our attention, and our attention is even more valuable to God. All they've tapped into is how valuable our attention is in the eyes of God. And it's valuable to Him in the same way that my wife's attention is valuable to me. Because He desires a depth of intimate relationship with me that He can only have when He has my attention. And so a season of prayer and fasting is a season of letting go of some things, removing some distractions, and refocusing our attention away from those things back to our Creator. And so we let go of eating food as we normally would for a season so that we can lay hold of a greater awareness of God's presence, so that we can be more sensitive to His voice, so that the pains of hunger can connect to a spiritual hunger that we all have, but we sometimes forget about it. Great quote, William Thrasher's book on fasting. He says, "Fasting is not to be an end in itself, but rather for the purpose of being separated to the Lord and to concentrate on godliness. This kind of fasting reduces the influence of our self-will and invites the Holy Spirit to do a more intense work in us. That's what we're doing in this season. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to do a more intense work in us. And so by the end of this season of fasting, we want to be more sensitive to God's voice in His presence. We want Him to have more of our attention. We want to be more aware of how easily robbed our attention can be. Less prone to distraction for the rest of 2022. Does that sound good to anyone? Sounds good to me. In a season of consecration, second, we reprioritize our time. Giving our attention to God begins with setting apart time to be with Him. Every relationship requires an investment of time. When I schedule a date night with my wife, it communicates something. I value you. You're important to me. You're so important to me that I am going to put it in my schedule so that nothing interferes with it. It becomes the thing that I will do and must do at that time. She's important enough to schedule and to prioritize. I better set a date night here pretty quick. After that. No, we got one coming up this week. We just got to work out the time. But in the same way, if God is our priority, then we will very practically make time for Him. We plan ahead. When we go to bed at night, we think about what time am I going to get up tomorrow morning so that I can spend time with Jesus? We should schedule time with God, I would say, really in two primary contexts. We schedule solitary time, and we schedule corporate time with God. We see, first speaking of solitary time, we see Jesus pulling away often, don't we, in the Gospels, to a secret place, to just be alone with the Father. Jesus, when He spoke about prayer, He said, don't be like the hypocrites who stand on the street corner. It's not about, you know, the accolades of people. It's not about people thinking how great of a prayer you are. It is about you connecting with the Father, growing in intimacy, in relationship with God. And so we should have that secret place in our own life. It's a secret place where we meditate on God's Word, we hear God speak to us through His Word, and we talk back to Him through our prayer. But we should also set aside time to gather together with God's people to pray. We do that every week here at 3:15. We should all schedule 3:15 on a Sunday into our calendar throughout 2022 because we're the people of God who pray together. Acts 2:42 says all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. They gathered together frequently to pray. The early church devoted themselves to prayer. They set aside time. They scheduled time to gather together. Jesus taught about how significant our agreement in prayer is. There's another level of power released when we agree in prayer. Here's a great quote from the missionary to China, Hudson Taylor. He said, in Shanxi, I found Chinese Christians who were accustomed to spend time in fasting and prayer. They recognized that this fasting, which so many dislike, which requires faith in God since it makes one feel weak and poorly, is really a divinely appointed means of grace. Perhaps the greatest hindrance to our work is our own imagined strength. And in fasting, we learn what poor, weak creatures we are, dependent on a meal of meat for the little strength which we are so apt to lean on. There's something powerful that happens in our corporate prayer and in this season of fasting where we focus even more intently on our times of prayer. And we have more times of prayer than we normally would. It helps us to reprioritize our times of solitary prayer and our times of corporate prayer. And so to help you in your own private devotional life, some of our pastors in Melbourne and in Pneuma Global in Melbourne are creating some daily videos that we'll be posting on YouTube. We'll pop those in the Telegram channel. I'll be putting some daily prayer updates and, you know, bringing some unity to our own private, personal prayer. But we will also be seeking over the next 21 days to strengthen our corporate prayer. And so we have scheduled prayer meetings over the next 21 days, both online, on Zoom, and in homes. Do we have that calendar printed out here today? Beautiful. Right up here. We're going to give that to you. You can take it home. It's all mapped out for the next 21 days. So I want to encourage you. There'll be some Zoom prayer meetings in the morning at 6 a.m. There'll be some Zoom prayer meetings at 12. There'll be prayer in homes, in evenings, various homes across the city. I want to encourage you to, in this season of consecration, prioritize gathering together with the people of God, with your covenant family, to pray. Why? Because at the end of this fast, we all want to have established in our own lives better habits of meditation in God's word and prayer. Come on, he's crawling now. Love that. It's a good age when they hit that age. Got to be a little more aware, don't you? We want to have established not only better habits in our own personal prayer life, but wouldn't it be great if we came out of this season of consecration as a covenant family more devoted to our corporate prayer? More passionate about gathering together regularly. Wouldn't it be amazing if everybody just showed up at 3:15 to pray? And we'll just pray going right into our service at 4 o'clock. And then all the people that you've invited can show up then at 4. Finally, in a season of consecration, we renew our desires. We renew our desires. Matthew 6, we're all familiar with this passage. Jesus said, "For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus taught us that what we desire, what it is that we seek after, is extremely important. And he says that if we will turn our ultimate desire away from all the temporal things, even the good things and the good gifts, and focus our ultimate, most intense desire on the things of his kingdom and the coming of his kingdom, then he says that he'll not only bring all those things that we're praying for, but all the other things too, that are all just the blessings of being his covenant children. So what are some desires that maybe you need to let go of in this season? There are some desires that are overtly, obviously sinful. We all have areas of our life that we battle. We all have weaknesses in our flesh where this is one area the enemy knows he can, he seems to be able to regularly trip us up. And so what a great opportunity in this season of consecration to come to the cross, to allow a greater revelation of the gospel to bring freedom in that area. There are some other desires that become sinful simply because we tend to elevate them to that ultimate place of importance in our hearts over Jesus. In other words, good things become ultimate things. And so a season of fasting is an opportunity to purify our desires, to allow the Holy Spirit to put his finger on things that he needs to put his finger on in our hearts and our lives. Interestingly, I had this revelation even just last night. We caught up with some other pastors in the city last night and just talking. And as we were talking, I was thinking about how much more intense my prayer life became when I was re-engaging back into ministry. We had some of our leaders over to our home on Saturday, and man, I was crying out to God. And it struck me, I realized, wait a minute, where was that crying out to God for his presence over my holiday? In my heart, I took a little bit of a holiday from my pursuit of God. And the Holy Spirit very gently began to show me that is it really just power for ministry that motivates you to want to know me? Is that the only reason we're together? That stung a little bit. And so in this season of consecration, the Holy Spirit wants to purify our desires. One of the most significant desires that we have, even needs, is food. And so by letting go and changing our normal intake of food for a season, we are empowered through our physical hunger to let our spiritual hunger become more intense. Great quote here from Andrew Murray. He says, prayer is reaching out after the unseen. Fasting is letting go of all that is seen and temporal. Fasting helps express, deepen, confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God. And so when we fast, we are replacing that normal, natural desire, physical desire, with the desire for God's presence. And so we'll find in this season, if we are fasting, that there will be sinful desires that will weaken as God empowers us to new levels of purity and holiness. Things that we previously that had our attention, we're going to see an intensification of our desire for our friends and family members to come to Christ, our neighbors to come to Christ, a greater desire for holiness in our own hearts, a greater revelation of what's going on behind the scenes and how desperately our world needs Jesus and the coming of his kingdom. And so by the end of this fast, we want to have let go of some desires that we've elevated above God, and so that they no longer have a place in 2022 in our lives, so that we can make ourselves ready and useful. And so we set ourselves apart in these three ways: refocusing our attention, reprioritizing our time, and renewing our desires. As the worship team comes, really quickly, I want to give some very practical ideas about what this season of fasting might look like for you. Biblical fasting is when we deny ourselves the essential requirement of food. And then we join that with prayer to seek the Lord for some specific things. There are going to be things that God works out in our hearts naturally through this time of consecration, but it's good to come to him with some specific things. But it's a disruption of some kind to our normal eating habits. Biblical fasting is not just giving up some luxury like television or Netflix or screen time or computer games. Now, kids, it's probably not a great idea for you to go too hardcore on the fasting, right? Your bodies are still growing. And so for you, you might get a pass on being able to incorporate letting go of some luxury things in your life. Oh, the eyes are rolling on the front, second row. There's a lot of freedom for us, though, to decide what this season of prayer and fasting looks like. I think that depends in part a lot of different things. Have you fasted before? How often have you fasted? What's your work situation look like? But here's some ideas, all right? You could fast for the next 21 days, or really it's the next 20 days starting tomorrow, one meal per day. That would be an option. Or you could fast two meals per day. So some kind of intermittent fasting, maybe an 8-hour eating window or a 4-hour eating window or a 2-hour eating window. You could fast all meals for one day a week for 3 weeks. Or you might do a 2-day or a 3-day fast, liquids only perhaps, for 2 or 3 days in a row for the next 3 weeks. You might choose a Daniel fast, which is just fruit and vegetables for 21 days. You might want to combine these different options. You might intensify the fast gradually from 1 week to the next. Maybe let go of one meal per day the first week, two meals, and then maybe go hardcore even more the third week. You might want to go liquid only for 21 days. Do whatever is appropriate for you given your season of life and how maybe physically strenuous your work commitments are. But don't be afraid to challenge yourself. Push yourself. Fasting is not meant to be comfortable and easy. It's a good idea to decide on the front end what you're going to do, because it gets real easy to change your mind as you get farther into the fast. Maybe have an accountability partner. Share with someone else what you intend to do. I will say there are some people who should not fast. I did talk to the kids, but I don't know if anyone here is pregnant or breastfeeding, but or if you have some medical condition, you want to speak to a medical professional before you fast. But whatever this fast looks like, let's use this time to draw near to God. Father, we come before you now. Lord, in this moment of worship, Father, we begin our consecration. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts? What do you want this next 21 days to look like for each of us?
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.